The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. The only this time. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a goal. Right on the Tigers. Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion. Just down the bars.
Oh, gee whiz. Had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big arm takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And how's the Festival of Football treating you?
Well, it's fair to say it started very well.
Yes, extremely well. I was trying to think, we've done podcasts in all sorts of circumstances and all sorts of times. We once did an emergency one straight after a win at the MCG against Carlton, and we broke the duck. We've done emotional and broken post-grand final shows. But I think a Friday afternoon show is something different. But, you know, everyone's having to learn a completely new routine in these strange times.
Yeah, well, we're both in locations where we're locked down for one reason or another. So, yeah, it's quite a fun way to spend a Friday afternoon marinating in a very satisfying Richmond victory.
Oh, and wasn't it a satisfying victory?
Oh, just... we were so worried beforehand.
As my favourite... I know, totally. Yeah, I certainly tipped the dogs in my work dipping comp. And,
I thought I'd never see happiness and lightness again. And I think you're about to quote a stat which was weighing very heavily on me. But what were you about to say?
Oh no, I was just going to say that. Look, we dominated. Much of the game against North Melbourne, and that was a deeply satisfying win. But this was more fun. This was Bulldogs are a much better team.
Yeah, like a team that on their day people talk about a potential premiership chance. You know, they're obviously highly consistent, and I think we may have crushed that idea a bit. But before the game, they were a highly credible team, had a lot of good players in, and you know, just fundamentally. Now, I don't want to overdo this because, as I mentioned last week, a lot of our inexperienced players are actually quite old. Like, you know, Jake Hartz may have played less than 10 games, but he's hardly inexperienced. You know, he plays quite well for a... he does all the right team things. But Lisa Raines to Roach on Punter at End put up this graph. It was a great graph of the last time... Every AFL club played a game with more than 10 players or more who played less than 30 games. So we had 10 players who played less than 30 games on Wednesday night. We are the only team to... So 17 other AFL clubs lost the last time they played such an inexperienced team, and most of them by a comfortable margin. And we're not only did we win easily. Like... You know, not to be underestimated, how much if you really understand how age and football teams and experience works, how much you couldn't, and then you just add the quality we had in our team. It was not like, you know, our injuries were to our role players. Our injuries was to our best and fairest winner and to other very good players, as you know, our best creator, as we've discussed many times. And to have all those disadvantages.
Three of the four. Yeah, 3 of the 4 from top 4 best and fairest winners from last year, and 5 of the top 10. It was a lot.
Yeah, and then just to completely boss the game, it was just God, it was fun to watch.
Mm. And I also the equally wonderful Swamp on Twitter confirmed that no team had as many players who were drafted outside the national draft, so either preseason or rookie picks, since the expansion teams came in. So Yeah, it was a pretty fun win.
Yeah, I mean, it was no one Dimmer. Someone described Dimmer as looking like the cat that got the cream after the press conference, and yeah, he pretty much did. Right now, his coaching game is very much on point.
Yes, that's a good spot to start as well, I think, because I was really impressed with the tweak to the game plan.
Yeah, it was very obvious, wasn't it? Like, it was straight away you could see that we were switching all the time, which, you know, you could see the players is, they got it and bang, they look for the switch straight away before they even look down the line. Like, and, you know, clearly it was a move and it did destabilize, you know, sometimes overdid it, as Dimmer said, but it clearly, unsettled the Bulldogs, and it was sort of something you don't always think of Dimmer as someone, you think Dimmer is more of a system coach, but, you know, we're gonna play our one wood and we're gonna beat you with our one wood, but you know he basically did the Alex de Clarkson, which has come up with the single game genius game plan.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and you know, lucky Dave Asprey wasn't in the team or his head might have exploded, but it was clear that
he was frowning unapprovingly from the stands. there's two guys down the line. Just go down the line.
But yeah, the game plan was on right from the start. The key forwards were on, and let's face it, Dusty was on. Like, what was the gesture he did after kicking the goal on the boundary line? Like, was that just me imagining him doing that? Are you not entertained? Gesture, or
I don't know. And part of me thought he was really going to lean into that, and then he sort of leaned back, like expecting to see 50,000, like he's used to 50,000 people at the MCG, you know, just cascading worship and love upon him. And then instead, he had 500 Richmond Queensland Tigers, you know, losing their minds. But you know, it's just a slightly different experience. But oh my God, that was a goal.
Bless those guys who are living their best life.
And Nick, I've been having a bit of bait. You know that first goal he kicks where he went round the corner and he smirked at the second Bulldogs player who was on the run? Now, I've been having a debate with Simon Wallace about whether or not he said, watch this, whether he said anything or not. To me, it looks like he didn't say anything. He just sort of, he smirked like a kid who's going to his grandmother's house and he knows he's about to get a treat that he doesn't really earn it, but he just knows that I'm going to get it because I'm special. I don't know. It was just a pure sort of, this is already a goal. Like, it was a hard shot. It was round the corner. It was, you know, it's not easy to kick round the corner like that from that far out, 45 metres, but it was like a smirk of, this is going through.
And not only this is going through, but you know it's going through and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yes, everybody knows this is going through.
Yeah. He's not a big talker. That would be the big argument in favour of him not sledging someone beforehand. Like, he's a deeds not words kind of dude.
Yeah, he did a comedy skit last week with Cochin, and yeah. You know, we all love Dusty, but my God, it was awkward. But yeah, God bless him. He can play football.
Yeah, five Brownlow votes the last 2 weeks. I think he was pretty supreme.
Yeah, and like we've been arguing, sort of the last, he's definitely not at his best. But you know, we've been before this week. Before this week, we've been pointing out that he's been low key still top 20 in the AFL as an attacking player. But yeah, like that's not top 20. That's number one. You know, he won't be on average overall, but if he keeps this sort of the last 2 weeks form up,
I think he's up to number three overall. It's really
yeah.
high.
Yeah, McRae said he had a great interview with Richo on the week during the week, and he said they moved up his positioning a bit against the JWS, and they're happy with it because it freed him up, and yeah, it's definitely working for it. I mean, okay, sure, maybe they changed the tactics. It looks like he's fitter. Whatever he had, he got over because Dusty can make almost any ground position.
Yeah, I don't think he's I don't think he's fitter. I just think he's less injured.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, you know, look, I'd love to believe a minor coaching tweak was what set him free, but yeah, I think Dusty can make almost any position in the ground work for him.
Oh, except that, as we know from 2016, the back pocket isn't very fun.
No, but like, even
when he's getting up.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, even if you played him across the half-back line now, you know, it'd be a terrible waste of talent. But
it'd be a total weapon.
Yeah.
Speaking of AFL ratings, Shea Bolton is top 20 in the AFL for the last month on the ratings.
Yeah.
He's doing very well.
He is. And, like, he didn't kill it on the ratings as much as he had the last few weeks, but again, another sort of good high 19 possessions. You know, he's sort of in the Shane Edwards camp where his 19 or his 22 is worth a lot more. Nick, this ball, I put it on Twitter. My God, he can hoof a ball when he gets, like, he's such a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
But like that, I swear that kick went 65. Like, how far did you think it went?
Yeah, 55. At least, and well spotted as well. He's a really explosive athlete. Captain Obvious for pointing that out. But yeah, his body's right. He's reading the play well. He's linking up. Yeah, like it is a really exciting to think about how he complements, like, just, you know, having Cochin back and his relentless attack on the ball and the man.
Yep.
Really helped. But
it really did.
You know, you put Prestia back in, you know, he was flying to the bubble. Hopefully Shane Edwards back sometime relatively soon. Put together a really nice on-ball cohort.
I mean, Bolton's pretty scary if he's your like, right now he's sort of our key creator. And
non-Dusty category.
Yeah, I mean, is he Dusty a creator or is he a finisher these days? Like, you know, he was sort of more finishing.
He's often both.
He's often both. Like, he had 9 score involvements, but, you know, 3 of those were his. But Bolton's just playing that bit further back. And, you know, imagine him as a secondary player, getting slightly less attention. And, you know, he might get a bit less of the ball, but, you know, as I say, you know, the sort of the 14 from him, you know, he's just, it can be amazing at times, but that kicking, I mean, he's got such quick hands. So yeah, I'm one of the many people I'm loving his game. And since we're on the mids, Nick, I've got this sort of theory, like, there's a couple of guys on our team now, you know, we're sort of Eggs and Bolton and Shorty, you know, we've got a few guys who, and maybe even Baker, through not quite as much, he's a bit of a hard nut, that aren't, their natural game is not to body line the ball in really nasty contests, like they're sort of guys who sort of, you know, sometimes, you do see all of them occasionally in a contest, you see them stick out one arm rather than body line it, and, you know, that's okay, they have to survive in the AFL, I'm not accusing them of anything, but the flip side of that is, like, you can have a few of those guys as long as you have some other guys who really bodyline the ball and make the other team feel the pain. Mm. And Mullen Pickett does do that.
Yes, he does. And he did. And he also had 2 absolutely sublime inside forward 50 entries in the first quarter.
And don't slip on his goal off the left foot either.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, like, he had over 200 metres gained in the first quarter, which is a huge number, and sort of he's still not putting together 4 quarters, but that was a really nice effort.
Yeah, well, it was more promising, definitely.
Yeah, the team, and the ratings loved his game. Because, you know, yes, he goes hard. He had some intercept disposals, goal assists. Yeah, nice game, but yeah, the whole as a team, the quality of our forward 50, and forward 50 wasn't nearly as crowded because we were moving the ball much more intelligently, but he was part of the reason why our entries looked a lot cleaner.
Yeah, and he and, you know, also he's a very different player to our other mids, which is is good variety. Actually, McCrae again said that they made a real effort to they sort of noticed that the week before going to GWS. Now, it's interesting, Nick. We actually, our expected versus actual scores this week, so was pretty much the 3 points apart. So we kicked about as well. And it actually wasn't that far apart last week either, but the scoreline's completely different. And the reason was different was a lot of our shots were from closer in this time. And that was a conscious choice of the team to sort of stop. They were too shallow and they weren't working in to create deep entries enough. So that was a conscious choice this week that they really worked on. And look, it came up a treat. But I don't want to get off the mids, Nick, because most unlikely person you would choose to replace Jack Graham's role as high pressure player who doesn't get much of the ball. I think Sydney Stack would have been fairly high on my list of players that, you know, isn't going to replace what Jack Graham does. And strangely enough, I think that's exactly what he did.
Well, we know he can bring the pain, and it was whereas Jack Graham's pressures often, it's more relentless than it is explosive. I reckon Stack will keep his spot in the team just solely on how often he impacted the contest, and his running numbers were really high as well. But yeah, I love it when he flashes in and tries to just destroy dudes.
Yeah, 7 tackles.
More of that, please.
7 tackles, led the team in pressure acts, and Dimmer actually complimented him in the press conference afterwards. So yeah, I think he keeps his spot. He might not repeat that role, but I was impressed. And look, since we're going through the midfield, and you know, sometimes the problem when you win is you just wind up mentioning how good every player is. But so, you know, Cochin didn't, you know, 11 contested possessions, 17, like it looks the same, but things like that little borderline illegal flick pass, that like that's just the difference of having him in the team, is, you know, that set up a goal, is just the quality of his touches in the midfield are just, he can just occasionally do things that are just better than anyone else we have on the list. Like you know, I know this isn't the hottest of hot takes, but it does make a big difference to the sharpness of our midfield now, the ability of our midfield to set up good forward line shots, to have Cochin back.
Yeah. Yeah, even at age 30, he's a much more explosive athlete than Graham is. It's pretty chalk and cheese. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that because we're able to nurse him through a fair chunk of the last quarter, that he's okay for the Lions this week.
Yeah, me too. Dimmer seemed quite uncommittal about that. But yeah, he had 65% game time, which is, you know, not a lot. We ran pick at 86.
Yeah. Finishing off the mids, Jack Ross's game was better on replay than I didn't notice it quite as much on watching it the first time. You know, when there's a lot more adrenaline than depression watching it live. But yeah, he did some solid work.
Yeah, he did. Like, he didn't, he wasn't eye catching, but like, you got to play him, right? Because otherwise, you know, we've got so many games in short periods of time. Like, you're just going to have to run numbers through the midfield, and you know, he does bring a bit of class that not all of our mids do. So yeah, he was solid without being spectacular.
Well, and he does good work in tight, and that's, you know, certainly need that at the moment. So unusually, we led with the best player. Is it possible that the second best player was Noel Bolter?
Baby Rance. Yeah, he's just coming on, isn't he?
He is.
He, you know, twice he punches and hits the ball. Sorry to go one of my pet things of how hard Noel Bolter, how strong Noel Bolter is, but twice he punched the ball so hard that you could clearly hear this doof during the replay. Like, he is such a strong young man,
and he's 20. Like, yeah, he's a beast. It is, and he weighs more than Tom Lynch. He's a mammoth dude.
Yeah, amazing, amazing athlete.
So I looked up Rance at the same age, which is 2010. And he played it was either 10 or 11 games that year. Most of the first half of the year, he was going as a utility, playing both forward and back. And it was only the last three games of the year, particularly one game, he had a real breakout season. But he's, funnily enough, Rance has got an October birth date as well. So despite at 18, he looked like a god as well. But so he's just, maybe these guys who are younger in their year, key position players take a bit longer. You know, and it's worth remembering, young Rance was extremely prone to brain farts as well, and it took a while to get that out of his game. But yeah, he's tracking really well.
Dimmel was really interesting in his press conference about it. He basically said, "Yep, it's up to Noah. He's got all the athletic ability. He needs to do the hard work." And because, you know, you hear the insider gossip. None of the coaches, well, not even the insider gossip, just what the coaches say publicly. None of them were talking Noah up at the start of this year. Like, if anyone tells you, privy to a few things, but I remember distinctly, anyone tells you that he was being talked up as the next best thing, you know, watch the wrangle round of a preseason match. This is not, you know, this has come somewhat as, he's really matured into his role, quickly, but you know, he's still got a long way to go. But Dimmel was like, just threw down the gauntlet to him and said, "You can," in the press conference, very publicly. And you know, that's, Dimmel's no idiot. He knew what he was doing when he just lent into the Rance comparison. And you know, the Rance comparison is really obvious, but once the coach says it, you know, that's it. It's, you know, it's done.
They did commit to him over the preseason. He played the whole preseason as a key back. That's compared to last year, that was clearly a decision they've taken.
Yeah, that's true. That's their plan. Like that they've lent into that plan, which so from that perspective they have. But you know, they weren't. You know, he didn't play round one. I mean, what stronger indicator do you get than that?
No, and he is like what he's really got good at are those one on one contests and really attacking the contest. What he doesn't have yet and may not have for a while is the sort of the vision and the judgment to be able to know when to leave his man and impact a contest somewhere else, because that was what took Rance to another level, was that it felt like there was three of him inside forward, inside defensive 50, you know, and seemingly being able to cover everyone. Like, Noah covers his man, and he's beating his man right now, which is a great achievement for a young key back. But yeah, as they say, there's a way to go as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually, he has the potential upside to his disposal is better than, and maybe he'll never see the game well enough. But you know, he's
rant. Recently, we all love it when he kicks it.
Yeah, and I think
it's total Ben Grant. Ben Griffiths territory.
Yeah, and credit to Ollie Noonan who pointed this out. Like, it's great coaching that there's clearly the last few weeks he's been told to drop his eyes and look for a shorter option and not just thump it long. And, you know, emotionally, I often want him to just thump it 65 metres down the line, get it clear. But, you know, it is great coaching to tell him to look for the short option because, you know, so he can start doing both in the longer term, because, you know, his default position was to use that beautiful long leg, but if that's all he ever does at this stage, you know, that's all he'll ever be. But, you know, potentially if he can learn to deploy the long leg when he needs it and the short leg when it's the right time, like, he could be a half-backline distributor. I mean, let's not forget, like, no, Dylan Grimes had, 18 again? Like, has become a backline distributor. Like, Dylan Grimes would regularly have three touches for Coburg. there was a time when and, like, now he's a beautiful backline distributor. You know, he's not a high stats guy, but he just uses it well and he picks the right option every time. Like, you have to learn, and he's on that process. So, yeah, incredibly exciting.
Yeah. That was really good. Speaking of exciting, there is a...
Soldo,
I do think
Soldo.
We need to manage...
What? Who said that?
speaking of managing expectations, I do think we need to appreciate Mabi Ochoa for what he is, rather than always getting distracted by what he could be. Like, he is... he's really useful as a forward ruck at the moment.
Yeah, so that contest, which is now, it made the highlights. It's pretty well known, but like when he tripped, and it looked like he just slipped as he was lining up to take the mark, and then you know he would have been completely within his rights to just half-heartedly, because he was already out of position, to just let the Bulldogs player take the mark and then stand the mark. Like, you know, no one would, but the way he just busted a gut to get to the contest, which was a huge hit and created a contest, that was almost the moment where Marbs crossed the Rubicon for me. Cause like, you know, yes, like that was always the problem with me with him, is that he just wasn't physically brave. And then, like, that was really brave, and it was like a gut effort to get to a contest. And I think the coaches have highlighted it too. He keeps his spot, obviously. But yeah, it's just,
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm, you know.
Look, he kicked a goal and, had two goal assists from within 20 metres.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, gave Arts an easy one. So, yeah. Yeah.
Look. Yeah. Oh, and the little short kick for another easy one to maybe George.
Yeah. I can't remember.
He's a damaging forward, and you know, competent in the ruck. Right?
Yeah,
that is a very handy combination for team balance.
And you know, gets the ball a bit when it's on the ground. So, and you know, again, he had a half. He had zero touches in the first quarter and one in the last. So not ready to proclaim the second coming of Jack Dyer. But as you said, he did a lot offensively. But I just love that physical contest. Like, you know, him putting his body on his line. Just, you know, it's something that he hasn't done before, and I just love to see him do it.
Well, I think there's a real element of learning the game, of learning senior football and learning how to concentrate and attack a contest and stay involved in a contest as a big bloke. It does take a while, but I think there's signs.
Look, and this is very half-assed, I've got no proof for this. To me, he looks like slightly thicker on the trunk, like he's been doing a lot of deadlifts. I wonder whether he's starting to, you know, like when you're getting stronger and you're lifting more weights, you get more aggressive because, you know, you think you're tougher.
You see the footage of him when he was drafted 5 years ago. He weighed 81 kilos. Yeah, I think he's listed at close to 97 kilos now. That's a lot.
Yeah, and like, his arms aren't huge, but he's got some junk in the trunk now, and I think he's believing himself a bit. So anyway, this is in the area of wild speculation, but I'm certainly liking the hard nut Mabi Ochoa.
Speaking of which, did you notice that the Bulldogs started the second quarter with Trangrove in the ruck to keep him away from Soldo, to keep English away from Soldo?
Well, yes, Soldo was playing angry. I don't know if you like the commentators, actually they very rarely picked up, and they commented on the ruckman making a special effort on pressure acts. Like, he won the hitouts to advantage 6-1. Everyone beats English like a drum, in the ruck contest, which he did that. But, you know, English was okay around the ground, better than, offensively, he was better than Soldo, but didn't kill him. And, then Soldo had, 41 pressure points, whereas English did nothing. Like, Soldo just, like, he definitively won the ruck battle, and, you know, English may, English is a developing beast, and may read him in a few years. But Soldo did his job, and he did definitively won the ruck battle, and I loved it. I loved his pressure.
Yeah, it was good. He had a lovely late hit to the first quarter where it was both brutal and subtle enough to get away with it. It was really nice.
Yeah, I really liked the two ruck. I think it's made them both hungry. Like, is it me or is both Nank and Soldo more aggressive than they were last year?
I don't know, but just before injury,
I thought Nank was playing in career best form.
Yeah, Nank was playing really well. And I thought, or something, I like an AFL ratings points per minute thing. I'm like, Nank was number one in the AFL for this season. It was off the charts. They were good in the grand final, because remember everyone was all about, oh, you know, Mummy's going to play with no fear, he's going to physically intimidate people, and yeah, that didn't work out at all.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there is a case that Mummy's washed, but yeah, you know, we've discussed that a lot before. We can't talk about every player for 5 minutes, but Tommy Lynch, 2 goals, 7 contested possessions, starting to look a bit more healthy again. Weirdly, people will say that...
I was going to say about Lynch, when he kicked his first goal, the team made a real effort to get around him. It's a funny... Like, and I remember possibly... It was a game... I don't actually remember when it was, but Lynch kicked a goal and Dusty signalled for people to get around him. Like, I do think it's a team... As a team, we're conscious that he's a guy who really thrives on that. I noticed that.
Yeah, nice. And it was interesting. People said it was a return to form for Jack because he took one nice mark where he pushed someone in the back and had 7 touches. But, you know, I think you have to look at the performance of the forward line of the whole, which was very good. Jack's a bit of the ringleader there and doing a lot of behind-the-play stuff. Arts, what did you think of the game?
He took his chances.
Yeah, I think it was good. Look, he kicked 3 goals. Fantastic. Good for him. I think the triumph of Jake Arts might be, I think we'll need a bit, like, 2 of those goals were gifts. One was from a down the ground free, which he kicked nicely, which was good. And the other was that Joel hand pass.
He did. Yeah.
And the third was that kick off the ground, which was nice. But, you know, he had 7 touches. Coaches love him because he does the game, McRae again, he does all the off the ball stuff really well and just understands the game plan. You don't need to coach him much. He just gets it. Good for him. He's taking every chance, but,
He needs to keep doing that.
Yeah. He does indeed.
We would be remiss not to discuss Oleg Markov for his legion of fans.
His the collective. We're looking for some ideological purity and leadership from comrade. Yes, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, he was fine. Bad drop mark in the last quarter, I thought. Yeah, if Loston's fit, he might be in some trouble. But if what you're getting from your 30th best player on the list is that sort of competence, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I mean, you're right from a Richmond perspective. I just like him, I love his athletic explosiveness, I would have loved for him to get to show it once or twice, take a run.
He's so fast.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, it was fine, and he'll keep his spot if Vlossie's not fit, but I think he's one and done if Vlossie is.
Yeah, sadly so. Anyone else you wanted to discuss?
Well, I mean, not really. Like, you know, there were a lot of heroes from the game. You know, Broad was very respectable with his 17 touches. But yeah, look, I think it was another triumph of game playing game. You know, full credit to what is an extremely, I mean, I'm so skeptical about these team culture, arguments, you know, every grand final, like I've said before, every grand final team thinks that their culture is special, but like, this is a really impressive season. I think this might, you know, just at mid, you know, roughly midpoint, this may be almost the most impressive season of the ones in the Premiership run thus far, to midpoint.
it's certainly the weirdest. And look, the, you know, the Premiership race is wide open. I think there's about five teams who are $10 or under in the betting. I think we're about third in the betting, about, I think, $7.50 or so. So we're right in the mix. It could be worse. Okay. Watching that Melbourne game last night was, to think of the 2018 preliminary final losers went in completely different directions from that point is, to say the very least.
Yeah, no, I mean, lots of people made this comparison, but they have very much gone the 2001 Richmond path.
Yeah, I have a thought for you. And whilst, once again, not wanting to be disloyal to two-time Premiership hero Toby Nankervis, would you trade two first-round draft picks, noting they're probably late first-round draft picks, and Toby Nankervis for Max Gawn?
Oh. Wow. So there's a couple of things there. Great question. Because it basically means you're adopting the Stars and Scrubs salary cap model.
Well, let's assume Toby Nankervis plus Alex Rance's contract equals max score on salary. So, yeah, you know,
you're not going to have a midterm in this scenario.
You're not cutting anybody. But else to fit him in.
In the short term and in the midterm, because you're going to have to pay Gawn a lot for a lot of years, there's going to be a midterm effect that there's going to be someone that you want to resign that you won't be able to resign because you're probably doubling. Because presuming you keep Soldo in this scenario, you're still doubling probably what you're paying at the ruck position.
Possibly so.
But in
normal circumstances, we would have the space for it. Mm.
Yeah, and point taken. So, would you do it? And would Melbourne do it? Because he's captain.
Well, I saw something about, should they trade Clayton Oliver? Or you don't trade your flawed, productive 23-year-old. You know, do you trade if you're not all that good now? Do you trade the guy who's pushing 29 years of age?
So the thing about bad clubs is they make dumb decisions.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, and like I think actually it'd be a better move probably for Melbourne than it would be for us. It'd be fun. And you know, it sort of breaks my heart because you almost make Soldo redundant as well by doing that.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to play Soldo and Gawn.
We would love Max Gawn. We would love him so much.
Yeah, but Ruckman do age quickly. You're basically going...
Good ones last a bit longer.
Yeah, you're going all in on the Dusty era.
You're doing it for the next 3 years. That's it.
And, like, I love it for the ballsiness of it. But I don't think Melbourne have that. Like I think what they're going to do is sack their coach and run it back with the same talent. You know, maybe sort of waste, you know, maybe trade for another sort of mid-level guy and not try and rebuild. Because, like, that's been their strategy, like, the last few years, has it? Like, they've spent a lot of money at the trade table.
Yeah, on Adam Tomlinson and Ed Langdon. Woohoo!
Yeah, and this is why it's not going to happen, Nick.
That moved the dial.
Yeah, this is why it's not going to happen, is because if they have to rebuild at this point after having traded for all those mature age players and Lever and everyone gets fired.
Yeah, mate. Stephen May's 28. Ooh.
Yep. Everyone's going to get fired if they do that. They can't admit. It's admitting they're wrong, so that's why they won't do it.
Mm. Yeah.
Good idea, though.
do you know who's a good team?
Well, what coach team? You going to say Brisbane?
Yeah. Going researching them today. They're a pretty good team.
Oh, yeah, why do you say
that? Same percentage as us. Good midfield. Well, their midfield, like they like everyone, including us, have injuries at the moment, so they're not fully weaponized. And they're weak in the ruck department, actually. But that the midfield of, you know, Lachie Neale, who's been their leading possession getter in every game, and who we last time we played those guys, he seemingly got a million possessions, you know. But combining, you know, he's a ball winning machine. In McCluggage is a really nice mix of sort of wins his own ball, but elite user. Jared Berry's a hard nut who compliments him. Zach Bailey is another young emerging midfielder who actually drafted with the draft pick they got off us, the Brett Delidio draft pick that we turned into Noah Bolter and CCJ. So, luckily win-win. Brisbane, Zach Bailey's a good player too. Yeah, win-win. But that is a really deep midfield. Both in winning their own ball and pretty good users as well.
Yeah, and, you know, okay, so we didn't knock them out of the finals last year, but beat them in a Ken game. And, you know, they haven't beaten us since Lee Matthews was their coach. So they'll be pretty keen. Somehow, I don't know, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, Nick. I'm quietly confident. They're also carrying their injuries, and they've got 2 days less break. That give me, and, you know, hopefully...
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, then. I like Daniel Rich, almost certain to miss. Stephen Martin out of the side. McStay's out of the side, and he's quietly their best contested mark. So, yeah, they are missing a bit. And so even their backup ruck, Archie Smith's injured as well. So they've got they don't like playing the big O, McEnany, as first ruck. They prefer him in sort of a troll role as forward ruck. But, yeah, because he's for an enormous human being, he's... I wouldn't say he's soft, but he is a little more of a finesse player. And, yeah, I think there's an opportunity that if he would just try and beat the hell out of him for large portions of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that analysis. And, you know, they're sort of, with Hipwood, it seems to be that they have a lot of talented talls who don't actually play very physically.
Hipwood's a tall, super athletic dude. Like, who better than for Bolter to play on than him? We know Grimes matches up on Cameron. Rayner's possibly a problem. He's a pretty good mark for a mid-size guy.
Yeah, he's a good complimentary player for a number one to watch him.
Yeah, he's not a massive ball winner. Tom Lynch is going to have a tough day on Harris Andrews. He can play quite a bit.
Yeah, he can. And I guess it then just comes about all the sort of, you know, very cliched thing to say, but modern AFL about the team offense through the forward 50, and they are well coached, and they'll come with a good game plan for us, and they had a pretty good game plan against us in the final too. You know, would have been a very different game if they kicked better for goal. But yeah, just Nick. Bottom line for me is when they're not at full strength, and you know, we have more quality outs than they do, but they're still taking down a good peg. It's just with Dusty playing like that, like, I'm just sort of, you know, I just feel like we've got the biggest, baddest guy in town, and it's just, we're going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah.
Sorry to be reductionist.
Dusty's played well again. No, and Dusty's played well against Brisbane, and obviously Round was great in that final. So yeah, I think that, you know, they're a really good team. So it's not going to be easy in any way. But yeah, I do. I think the version of the team that we saw when was it Wednesday? Oh God, I'm getting confused. But yeah,
Wednesday. Yes.
That version of the team can definitely win this game.
Yeah, and look, I'm just loving having football on. You know, it's far better than a nice trip to a day spa or anything else. So, not that I can go to one anyway. But yeah, I'm just loving football, loving this year's team, and yeah, looking forward to next week.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. We only this time. 4, 3, 2, 1. It's a goal. Right on the Tigers.
Oh, what a pick.
Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion. Just down their marks.
Oh, jeez. He's had 4 shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Bigamarn takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yeah. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. There's the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.